This is Gam Chat. My name is Greg.
I'm McCoy.
And I'm Dee.
We're three Filipino gay guys trying to make sense of anything and everything in the world today. Welcome to our podcast.
So it's been a minute.
A minute?
I feel like I don't know you guys anymore.
Just a minute.
I'm McCoy, by the way, in case you forgot what I look like and my name.
You like long walks on the beach or dark alleys?
Actually, I don't. I like easy hikes and good food.
Easy hikes? No one has ever... I've never heard that before.
Look, I'm in a shape. I'm not in shape, is what I meant to say. So I need easy hike to work my way into, like, you know, intermediate and difficult.
It's like mostly downhill, if possible.
No, because you have to go uphill on your way back. That's even worse. Go uphill when you're, like, the strongest and downhill when you're coming back.
No, he's more like a hike to my car, to my car, to the parking lot.
No, you have to give me some kind of reward. So hike to like a restaurant, which is mostly flat, you know, like a sidewalk hike.
A reward? We have to, what are you, like 10 years old? I need a reward.
I think that's just a walk by then, right? It's not really.
I will still call it a hike.
Oh my god, you know, like when McCoy gets out of his car, he puts like, oh, okay, on his watch, on his phone, I'm gonna go on a hike on the app. And he's like, how many calories did I burn? You've burned 10.
How have you guys been?
Wow, I've been so busy. It's been a busy, I think, past like month or so. I feel like I saw beyond.
Every time we text you, you're like, I'm out of town. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm like, never mind.
Oh my god, seriously, it's my fault. No, I saw Beyonce. I saw Chainsmokers in Vegas. I partied like it was 1999. My voice is slightly gone because I partied so much. I don't know. I feel like I went around the world so many times. I'm like exhausted. So I'm doing great. Doing great.
At least you have a lot of experiences to pull from. Well, recently at least.
Yeah, and then probably, and also some, you know, like eardrum damage. I can't even hear with the party so much. I'm like, crap. But you gotta, I have to tell you, Beyonce was amazing.
Yep.
I think Dean are the only ones that went. McCoy, you didn't see Beyonce. Mm-hmm.
I didn't. Because I don't listen to new music, so I don't even know her newer music, and I feel like even if I did watch, I'd be lost. So maybe I should just slowly get back into that.
You would not be lost.
I'm always lost.
That is true.
No, ironic, because I was going to say I have a good sense of direction, actually. I can navigate.
I mean, knowing her music is definitely like a plus, but I think the energy of everyone being there was like really trumps, not the person, but like
but see,
that's your choice of word, really.
But see, Dee, you told Greg there's a segment in the concert to do a specific act.
Me not knowing
that, I'd be like, I'd do the opposite because I didn't know, and I'll be like slapped or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you would be. Yeah, you should be slapped.
So that's why I should like pay attention and maybe get back into the, you know, groove of things.
Which is also could be her song, Virgo's Groove. But yeah, no, I went on her, it was her birthday concert. So that's when she brought Diana Ross out.
Diana Ross?
Yeah, sang happy birthday to her. And then she had another guest. It's slipping my head. But I wish I was able to get there a little bit early. We got there at 7:30, and the entire night I just stood in line for merch. And like, I left the people we were with, Marlo's brother, because they were like, you know what? You guys have never seen her live yet. Go ahead, and we'll just stand in line to get the merch, because we were cutting it close. So by the time they came back, she already performed one song from getting everything.
Oh,
wait, what? You missed the opening?
I don't know. I didn't, because they were like, go ahead. You guys go ahead, and we'll stay in line. So they made us, you know, they stayed in line for us to buy the merch that we wanted. So, and then Amato and I headed up there, but we, you know, she did everything. So Renee, I don't know if she listens, but she did like the best seats ever. It was right front and center. Not the Club Renaissance like pit, but we were like right there. So, and she paid half the price that people paid for. So, which is amazing.
How'd she manage that?
I don't know. She goes, if you need like camping and like tickets for shows and concerts, she's my go-to person because she got me to SZA concert, so she got me Beyonce, so she knows how to handle that portion.
And McCoy, what have you been up to?
Who, me?
No, the other McCoy.
I went to the Philippines in July. I don't know if we discussed that. No. Well, no, we haven't recorded. Oh, my God. We haven't recorded in so long. So, no, I was in the Philippines, and so we didn't record then. And we didn't record because everyone was busy and all that stuff. So, yeah, I went to the Philippines to spend some time with family. So that was a fun experience.
Wait, what's the resort that you went to again that you were dying? Like you couldn't wait to
check out? that's in Bali. It's the Alila Ubud. And I saw it from a vlogger I follow, and I was like, oh my God, that hotel, I have to check out. So I made sure that next time I'm in Asia, I book a flight there, I get the hotel. And since I had two free nights with Hyatt, I was able to stay for free for the two nights that I was there.
Yeah.
It was great. It was like, it's a kind of resort that you just want to like sit and just look out and just enjoy the sound of nature kind of thing, because the resort is surrounded, it's on a ridge, so it's surrounded by trees and forest, and they have like wild monkeys. A couple of them actually climbed on my balcony, so good thing I wasn't out there, because I don't know how I would have reacted.
Wait, it's not like completely open to the outside, right? You can close a door or something.
No, they tell you to lock the, you know, the sliding door, because sometimes they may climb at night, and if it's open, then they may go inside your room. So I'm like, okay. But it's a beautiful resort. It's older, but it's beautiful. And then, you know, the Philippines, we got hit while I was there by they call it typhoon in Western Pacific. We call it hurricanes here. So three of them in the 2 week span that I was there. So, you know, stepping in floodwater is an experience that I shouldn't complain about, because, you know, millions of people go through that as, you know, as part of their life.
Well, stepping in flood water, is that different than stepping in, like, I don't know, a puddle? Like, what do you mean when we say step into flood water?
A puddle is a puddle. It's the street is flooded, and you have no choice to get home or to get where you're going.
Current is strong.
Sometimes there's no current, but there was a moment that there was a current, and I said, what the fuck is going on? Because I haven't gone to the Philippines during the rainy season. I usually avoid it, but because I wanted to spend my birthday there, or at as close to my birthday as I can in the Philippines, so I can spend it with my family there, I had to go in July, and that's when the rainy season is. And it just so happens there was three typhoons.
Well, how high was the water?
Like past your ankle? Well, I didn't. Yeah, something like that. Like, take your shoes off, roll up your pants,
and then you carried like that by like the maid?
No, I wasn't carried by anyone, because no one can carry me unless if it's like, you know, like a forklift or something.
You should have like four people carry you. You know, like they do, like what's her name?
Oh, Marilyn yes,
Monroe in her pink dress, yes, like the diamonds and the girl's best friend.
No, I'm thinking about like the Muslim dance where they put like,
they put the bamboo.
The bamboo, yeah. It's just like...
Yeah, no, that part wasn't fun, and the stress of going from one part of the city to another, and you have to go through like flooded streets, and your Uber driver, we call it, well, they don't have Uber there, they have Grab, so your Grab driver, who's not familiar with your area of the city, ask you what street he should take, and then you tell him, I'm not from here, so we're both, you know, we don't know.
Isn't there like Google Maps or something that they can just use?
Yes, but some streets are flooded, that it might be too high for the vehicle that he has. Luckily, the Grab I booked was a van for like six people, because getting the smaller car was harder. So I said, I'll just pay extra so I can leave, so I can go. But he was very nervous because some streets were really, really flooded. I was so stressed out. I was really stressed out. Because, you know, I don't experience that on a daily basis. I mean, I haven't experienced that in a long, 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 long time. So that wasn't fun. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, we do have flooding here. We have Florida was hit.
But that's Florida.
East Coast was hit summer. But
yeah, that's Florida. And here in L.A. I mean, we have a puddle, you know, like because it stormed in the morning. But that's it.
We got a puddle.
Yes.
Oh, we did have a hurricane this summer.
Oh, that was weak.
I just, a hurricane.
The thing is, I just came from the Philippines and did all that with a typhoon. So that was not a hurricane. That was a shower. But then in other parts of the state, they did have a lot of damage.
Yeah,
so.
Like the desert areas mostly. Like yeah. Palm Springs. Yeah. Even Coachella. You guys saw what happened? No. Burning Man. That was insane.
Burning Man.
They got stuck. I was going to say, I mean, like, I'm sure they're rich enough that they could have chartered, like, a chopper to pick them up.
Not everyone who goes to Burning Man's rich, though.
Well, okay, so, like, one-fourth could have left that way.
But they can't land anywhere.
I'm sure there's, like, an elevator that they can, like...
An elevator in the desert. Yeah, you just literally heard yourself speak out loud and you stopped yourself, right? I could tell.
I don't think he knows how a helicopter and an elevator works.
No, I was thinking, you know, those rescue baskets that they bring down and yeah. They put you there and then they bring you back up. That's what I had in mind, but I used the wrong word. I misspoke. I'm sorry.
Or like a gurney that's on.
Yes.
So on this episode, we were inspired by Halo Halo, the most beloved layered shaved ice drink in the world. Well, that's just my opinion, so I guess it must be fact, but I do believe it is.
Now, you just said it's your opinion, so it's not fact.
All right, then. Fine. Get in your elevator. Get out of here. Now, even though summer is technically over... But Halo Halo never goes out of style, and neither do random topics homos chat about amongst themselves. Like us, we're the homos, and some of our listeners. Now, before we go into this little mix episode, what is your favorite Halo Halo?
Ooh. Okay, I'll go first, since, because you insist.
Was someone pinching you from under?
Oh, I misheard. I thought you guys were insisting that I go first. So I was in the Philippines. So I went to this restaurant, and I went to that restaurant just because of this. I saw it on TikTok, or my sister-in-law saw it on TikTok. And it's a restaurant in Kansas City that serves Mindanao food, Tawi-Tawi, Sulu, Zamboanga, that area. And they have this dessert called the Knickerbocker, which is their version of the Halo Halo. And it's what it has is in-season fruit, nuts, jelly, fruit syrup, ice cream, and whipped cream, so no ice. So it's very creamy. It was delicious. It was delicious. Although it had watermelon, so I had them take it out because I don't like watermelon. So it has fruits and ice cream and whipped cream. That's basically what it has.
So a sundae?
Well, a sundae has chocolate syrup.
Okay.
It has nuts. And it doesn't really have fruits. Or it doesn't have tropical fruit is what I should say. This had like mangoes and all that stuff. And if you like watermelon, then it would have watermelon. But it was very delicious. And they called it the Knickerbocker. I don't know where they got the name, but I'll leave it at
Knickerbocker?
That. Yeah. And it's from Zamboanga.
Huh. A Knickerbocker.
So it was very delicious. So next time you are in Quezon City, go to... Palm Grill, that's the name of the restaurant, and I love their food. I had this chicken, I think it's from Sulu. It was delicious, Greg. It's so delicious.
Ugh. Can you post a photo of it on our Instagram?
The picture I took was not good because I was like rushing because I was hungry.
It was like after.
And it was probably all over your shirt. It was afterwards.
It was like the bones and the cartilages.
But it was so good. It's really, really good. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
How about you, D? Any Halo Halo favorites? Any kind of certain mixes that you like?
Mine is the Cafe 86 Upside Down Halo Halo, which is like, instead of like a regular milk, it's ube milk. And then,
oh my
like,
God.
And then like ube ice cream. So it's like all ube. And then I like their Halo Halo because they don't put like things that you kind of, I would pick out when I eat Halo Halo.
What do you pick out?
The beans. I hate
the beans. I don't mind the beans. I don't like the beans. It's part of the whole experience. But Greg, let's not judge him. Okay, you can speak. You go ahead.
So they put the right stuff, which is like the jellies.
And the right,
like,
stuff. Yeah. I disagree.
Wow.
Your definition of right may not be right for someone else. They put stuff you like is what you should say.
Which is right. So that way.
Oh, it's going to heat it. Yes.
But no, I mean, it's like an ube over, like, overload. And then,
well,
then
no. Okay. Like, so what do they put without it? No beans. So what else do they put?
Okay, so they put... Okay, I'm looking at their thing. They put coconut jellies, jackfruit, boba. The Frosted Flakes kind of bastardizes it for me, so I think that can go away. And then, like...
But
like,
it gives, like, a crunchy, like, texture, though, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it's like... I just don't want
it. It doesn't need to have it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So anything, okay, like, you know, anything that's, like, oddly, like, chewy, like, the beans, I kind of don't like. And then, like... I like because they put a lot of flan, like nice, thick, like creamy pieces of flan in there. So it's just like the entire thing is purple. I love it.
Okay. So it's ube ube, not halo halo.
Yes, practically. That's what it is, which is the perfect way to do it. And the only way it should be done. So.
Ooh! Oh my God. No, I disagree. Okay. You made me think of like some halo halos I actually was not, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
I would say. There was one I had most recently called.
Pause that, Greg. Because in lieu of pinipig, they use cornflakes, which I disagree with. They should have just used pinipig.
Is that not like.
Which is the flat rice that's.
Is that accessible for us? Is that what it is?
No, you can buy. I'm sure they have them in stores, but maybe they don't have a supplier for it.
Yeah.
Or they want to be different. Anyway, Greg, go ahead.
So I made me think about some halo halos I'm not really feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a nice way of saying it. All right. There was one restaurant in downtown Los Angeles, a Filipino restaurant, that has a halo halo there.
Say and I'm their trying to remember. I'm,
sorry, sorry.
No, names. I'm not going to say their name. I'm not going to say their name.
Oh.
I'm not going to say their name.
Can beep it. D. Is this?
Yes.
See, I don't mind it. I don't like the apples, though.
Oh, wait, well, let's talk about this, right? Yeah. So the halo halo, this particular spot, has... American fruit, like an apple.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like apples and stuff like that. I'm like, no. This is not halo halo. This is not my halo halo that I remember as a child. Because my, like, I don't go anywhere for halo. I go to, you know, Seafood City, get all the different jars of the beans, the mugapuno, the little sweet little cube one. I forgot that what's called, the little jelly one.
Yes.
Whatever and it is. It's so good.
Kaong is hard. It can break your teeth.
Oh, like that stuff, like I like, and then they put the leche flan, the ube. Oh, I mean, mix all that. Like I like the beans. Like what's the string? Like, macapuno is a stringy stuff, right?
Yeah. The coconut, yes.
Yeah.
But the jackfruit is also stringy and yellow.
Yeah. Like I really want like a really thick like.
Okay, so they have American fruit, and that's why you didn't like it. It has ice, right? Yeah. If I remember it correctly.
Besides apples, what else did they have? Did they have like? Grapes.
Grapes, I think. Grapes, had grapes
yes,
in it.
Grapes.
Oh my God. Grapes should not be in Halo Halo, yes. People.
Maybe they were trying to make a fruit salad, but then kind of got lost in
it. No, it was served as a Halo Halo. So I think maybe they're copying this Knickerbocker from Zamboanga. And this is not, you know, Knickerbocker wasn't made up to be cool. That's just how they serve it. Yeah. So maybe that's their interpretation of it. The American fruit really does not work. I agree with Greg. I don't mind the concept, though.
I mind the concept. That should not happen. It doesn't taste like Halo Halo. It doesn't have the beautiful thing, the textures I think Halo Halo is known for.
And it's weird because most of the things in, like, not most, all of the things in the Halo Halo is not seasonal. So it's available year round. Why not just stick
it's in
to
a fucking jar. How hard is it? Go to seafood, put it in the jar, open the jar, pop it out. Come on.
Well, you know, this place is known for. Trying a modern twist on Filipino food.
I'm all for that, but just It needs to be right. Like, come on. There was no beans in it.
Well, D doesn't even like beans, so does that mean his Halo Halo is wrong?
Yes. Oh, sorry. I mean,
fight. Fight for your right with no beans.
I mean, I don't mind the small beans. I don't like the white beans.
See, I just eat them all because it's there. It's part of the whole experience.
No, it's savory. Yeah. To me, that's savory. It shouldn't be in there.
No, no. The beans are like soaked in like sugar water, I think. So it's sweet.
Yeah,
I just don't like texture.
But, you know, the starchy consistency of it,
yeah,
I don't like so much.
Yeah.
So I get that. But I just eat it because, hey.
Because, hey.
It's part of the thing.
I will fish it out. If it's there, I will fish it out one by one.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine fishing out anything out of Halo Halo because it's like.
Yeah,
it's
like, I don't.
It mixes in your mouth.
Yeah, it's all mixed in there. I mean, like, you have to go one
it's
by one.
Easy.
I don't like it when they get stingy,
thing.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they get stingy with the ingredients, I don't like that.
I agree. I think Halo, yeah. I'm realizing Halo Halo is a very like sensitive subject matter.
Hey, once someone's Halo Halo, maybe not your Halo Halo, but you know, they're all valid.
Just like this episode.
Yes.
So in this episode, our mix episode, we're switching things up. You know, all three of us picked random topics to talk about. So three topics we'll discuss today. McCoy, why don't you take it away?
Okay. So a couple of months ago, this drag performer named Pura Luca Vega, a video of, I believe this person identifies as non-binary. So they performed a remix version of Amanamin. Amanamin is Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. In the Philippines, they sing it. It actually sounds very relaxing when they sing it. Anyway, so they performed a remix version of it, and they were lip-syncing the whole thing, and they were dressed up, and I think this is their costume or their outfit to perform. They were dressed as the Black Nazarene, which is an image of Jesus that is in Quiapo in Manila, and that church is a big deal. That image is a big deal. They have festivals annually, and people go there. The devotees go there. A lot of them. I don't even know how many, but a whole lot. Like, the whole city is filled. So it's a big deal. So people got offended. Even a prominent transgender lawmaker in the Philippines also voiced her opinion against this performance. And I believe... I don't know the whole what they said to defend themselves. I didn't go through all that, but I did speak with our friends from the Rainbow Pill podcast to kind of get the feeling of the LGBT community and maybe society at large in the Philippines because, you know, we don't live there. So I wasn't really paying that much attention to the whole topic. I just knew there was like a whole thing, a whole issue with the performance. So what the Rainbow Pill podcast had told me was, yes, even people that's part of the LGBTQ community were offended by it. A big chunk of society, I guess, didn't see it as a form of self-expression, but instead something offensive to the Catholic Church and to the Catholic I guess, people in the Philippines. So they didn't like that. This performer is saying that they were being attacked online because they are part of the community. And some people in the community were saying, don't use the community as an excuse. This is on you. So my thing is, where do you side? Is it self-expression or is it something that was done to offend? There was also another video that was released. I don't know why they do this, but you know, this is their thing. They did a mukbang of the, you know, the church, the communion thing, the round thing.
Yeah.
And they were eating it and they were commenting like, oh yeah, crunchy or something like that. Like, oh,
it's the same performer did it.
Yeah, it's that did this. I'm like, oh my god. And some municipalities and some cities have past persona non grata for this person. And all this backlash, really, like, backlash. But here's the thing. And when I was talking to the Rainbow Pill podcast, I was very clear about this. I said, I don't like the performance, not because I don't like it as a performance or I don't like the person. I don't like it because the LGBTQ community in the Philippines is fighting to be heard, to have equal rights. And they're kind of in this precarious situation where a conservative society is tolerating them. And when something like this happens or it gets blown out of proportion, it is linked to the community. When maybe not necessarily, it could be linked to the performer, but not the community at large. Does that make sense?
Is that the response is like, and generally now it becomes a community?
There was a lot of backlash because of it. But
towards the community?
Towards this performer. Okay. Even people in the community didn't like it.
Yeah.
Some. Well, I don't even want to say if it's a majority or not. But here's the thing. Okay. The Philippines has this anti-blasphemy law. I don't know if that's the official name, but, you know, that is the what they call it. Someone actually went to jail for that. But also, the Bill of Rights of the Philippines, Section 4, and you don't have to be a lawyer to understand this. This is not no legalese, you know, statement. This is like clear English. And it says, no law shall be passed abridging the freedom of speech, of expression, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for redress and grievance, redress of grievances. So this part where it says of expression, they have that freedom of expression. I may not like it, but that's my problem. And that's kind of like the stand I take on it. But let me read you this anti-blasphemy law.
Before we go into this, I'm watching the video now.
Yes.
So this drag queen performed at a bar.
Yes.
Like you said, right? Mm-hmm. Dressed as a Black Nazarene, and they're singing Our Lord's. What is Our Lord's Prayer? Is that a song?
Our Father who art in, you know, that prayer.
Yeah.
In the Philippines, it's a song.
But they're singing like a rock music, right?
Well, in the Philippines, they sing it in church. It's a song. So they did a rock version of it, and they were performing. You know,
so they did a rock version,
like a remix is what people were saying.
Yeah, and they were performing it, okay, at a bar.
Yes. So people, because the video was posted, I don't know if it was posted by the performer, but I think, or other people, and it went viral, and people were like sharing their opinion, and lawmakers, senators were saying, you know, this blasphemy or whatever, and a group that represents the church actually filed a case against this person.
Against this drag queen.
Yes.
All right. So before we go into all like the legalities and all that fun stuff, what's everyone's thoughts on this?
My thought is, I don't like it because it puts a target on the community's back in the Philippines, not here. Like if it happened here, we have our rights are, for the most part, cemented. We can do that here. In the Philippines, it's not so much. They're still kind of like, you know, walking the eggshells kind of thing. And that's what I'm nervous about. But I may not like it. But like I said, this person has that right, freedom of expression. And it's in the Bill of Rights in the Philippines.
Got it. Yeah. And then, D, what's your thoughts on this? What's your take?
I wish I knew how the performance went, but I know a lot of drag queens, especially here in the U.S., has done, like, the Virgin Mary. Like, actually gave birth, like, on the spot and everything. You know, but I want to hear how, like, were the words changed to the original prayer, or was it just like
From what I was told, the words were not changed. It's just that the fact that you're performing to that song in that way and dressed like that is what people found offensive.
Because, you know, like, I mean, I've done a lot of different like churches before. I've gone to like Catholic, Methodist, Protestant, Iglesias, the only one that I haven't touched because he can't get out of it. Oops, sorry.
I'll keep quiet.
But you know, I've even gone to Christian churches where, like, all of a sudden, like the normal hymns that I've heard or sang as a kid became like, you know, rock themed, where it's like
rock, yeah,
right. So
yeah,
I mean, as long as the words were not changed, I don't really.
When you go to church and the song that you usually hear differently is now being performed as a rock song, that's still in the context of worship.
Yes, okay. Yes.
But wait, before, let Dee finish his thought.
But though. Let's okay. say now we have this performance at the Abbey here in West Hollywood, which is technically a church. Or no, Limelight in New York.
If that's not technically a church.
Just kidding. It may feel like it's it. It's a church been on, right,
but yeah, I've been on my knees a few times there, so it's kind of a church. Just kidding.
It's the same.
No, you were.
But I guess... I don't know. If the performer was doing it, obviously, like their rendition and like a celebration of whatever, you know, I mean, I read that portion where they were reclaiming their Christianity. If that was, I wish, you know, that reason might be a little bit more received well if it was mentioned before the performance rather than after as a defense. But I mean, that's their truth, you know. We can't really, you know, erase yes. that from them. So, you know, I, again, if it wasn't like bastardizing and changing the lyrics of the songs and really just make it very sexual or offense, you know, in any way, I don't see the uproar. Because I mean, as a kid, I remember, you know, that the little hot flakes and us pretending it's like, you know, the body of Christ.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, so is that, you know, an offensive thing now that we, you know, it's not a mockery. It was, as a kid, we just did it just because we thought, you know, it's something that we can link that sentiment into something else, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. Are you done, dude? I want to interrupt. I mean, for me, I feel that, you know, knowing that this was performed specifically in the supposedly safe space for performing drag at a bar, and it was performed with rock music, I do feel like in this case, I think that the community should support this drag queen for expression, you know? I mean, everywhere we go, there's a target on our backs no matter what. Like how we dress, how we act, our mannerisms. There's always a target on my back. And I actually kind of found this to be brave for this drag queen to do in this country, you know, or because we're pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't get a lot of our rights without the trans community or even the drag queens that perform. Being ourselves is very like, it's criminal to be ourselves in some countries. Right. And also I find that when drag queens perform, you know, it's all about self-expression, interpretation, sometimes to pay homage, not to make fun of. And, you know, I agree about like taking it back. But what religion means or, you know, the inner turmoil of like, you know, religion in some countries or your own beliefs and how it had directly affected our community. And this record wasn't trying to perform inside a church or in front of the church or at a political arena. This person was performing in front at a bar that's supposed to be safe. And I get people may be offended because it's their religion. I get that. But it didn't seem the intent was to offend. You know, what's the intention to offend? It didn't seem like it. I saw the footage. I didn't, you know, it's in Tagalog. But I don't know. I'm with the drag queen on this one.
I think maybe the intention is maybe it's not to offend, but to push boundaries. And I get that. But you also have to understand Filipino society in the Philippines is a lot more conservative than us here. Even people that are part of the LGBTQ community, some of them still identify as Catholic and they go to church every Sunday and they pray and all that. They do all that. Me, I'll speak of myself. I don't do that. I don't even know if I can consider myself Catholic. Not even. Barely Christian. because I grew up with all that teaching and all that. So I see like where I'm coming from here, but I also see where some in the LGBT community in the Philippines are coming from, who are religious, who may have gotten offended by it. I don't agree, because like I said to our friends, you being offended by this performance is your problem.
Correct, yeah.
Not the performers, because a performer, based on the law, has the freedom of expression. You being offended is your issue, not theirs.
Correct. I agree with that statement. I believe, like, you're offended. You have the freedom to be offended.
Yes.
And own it, just as much as this drag queen had to express what he or she is communicating. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, and performing. And I mean, honestly, I saw the performance. It's rock music.
Yeah.
It's not like this, oh, it's, you know, causing this and that. And it brings to, like, remember, like, when Sinead O'Connor, who recently passed away? Sinead O'Connor, when she performed on Saturday Night Live, it was a live taping. She ripped up the Pope's photo live, and it was controversial. It was, people were offended. How dare you? And what, decades later, people are like, oh, she was right to push boundaries, because a church, and it was in Ireland, right?
Yes. Had
like hundreds and hundreds of kids that were molested by priests. And the church did nothing about that. Sinead O'Connor was taking a stand, expressing herself, and ripped up the picture.
I see where you're coming from, and I definitely agree with what you're saying. But the problem is, at the time, she lost pretty much her career because of that act. It's so sad.
That's what I'm saying. It's,
yeah,
it's about being brave. It's about brave. So I think this drag queen, I'm giving this drag queen like some points on bravery.
Yes. No, definitely. No, what they did was definitely ballsy.
Ballsy is like you just said.
Yes.
No pun intended.
But it's scary, because I'm not saying it's going to push back the fight for equal rights in the Philippines, but people may use that as an excuse. Like, see, they don't know where, they don't know their place, kind of thing.
I understand the, I mean, I'm trying to find a reasonable doubt that someone was actually physically harmed or physically hurt by anything. Because what it is this is like emotions. Like, yes, you can, like you said, you can be offended, but like what is the basis of their argument? Yes, I understand that. It's, you know, what you're saying, like, oh, they don't know their place, they're pushing, but they didn't do anything that physically harmed anyone, that, you know, that's really just questionable. And what it is, it's like, it's almost like pride or something that is revered by a certain amount of the population is just touched. But, you know, I mean, here, drag is like, besides just pushing boundaries, is like really putting your art there. That's your expression. And, you know, yes, you know, we've seen it from there's different kinds of drags. There's the high femme drag, fashion drag. There's the comedy drag. There's the performance art drag. And then there's like the artistic drag. So it's like she just happens to tap into something that maybe it's not done there yet. You know?
Well, isn't drag, by definition, is self-expression?
Yes. Yeah, that's like, you know, it empowers, for what I've observed and like kind of what most drag queens talk about is like, it's their alter ego that they get to freely do whatever they, you know, that something that's held them back. You know, I mean, pretty much you just, they're the same way artists would, you know, write lyrics that might be offensive to others, but, you know, their spaces is revered.
No, you know, the first drag actually was the Catholic Church. I mean, they were like the Pope back then.
Opulence.
He was like, opulence, 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 opulence. It was like all drag. It was beautiful.
Can I read this? This law, what they call the anti-blasphemy law, to you guys, so you guys get a picture of
Now, but, let's go into the law. Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about this.
It says here, Section 4 of the revised penal code, largely unchanged since 1930, by the way, covers, quote, crimes against religious worship, including a ban on interruption of religious worship, Article 132, and more pertinently, is offending the religious feelings, Article 133. It says, offending the religious feelings, the penalty of arresto mayor, suspension of suffrage, is what it means, I guess, in its maximum period, to prison, prisión correccional, and its minimum period from 6 months to 1 day, up to 2 years, 4 months, shall be imposed upon anyone who, in a place of devoted to religious worship, or during a celebration of any religious ceremony, shall perform acts notoriously offensive to the feelings of the faithful. Granted, this performance was not done in a church, but this law has been used to actually jail people because someone actually protested during a mass, and they were put to jail. I think for a year. I don't really remember.
Yeah, that's not right. Like personally, like offended. Like, what are these? Give me specifics.
That's the thing. It's so vague.
Yeah, offending someone is pretty much like a witch hunt. It's like, yes, you know, you're just accused by something, and it's like,
well, here's the thing.
How can you defend feelings, right?
Go ahead. No, finish.
For I thought feelings are not really a, or maybe this is just Judge Judy, of course, but I know feelings are not, you know, like something that you can bring up in court, because I mean, everyone has their own feelings. That's not the fact. That's not concrete.
Well, my thing about this law, or a section 4 of the revised penal code, I told our friends, I said, yes, there's this law, but at the same time, in the actual Bill of Rights, it says you have freedom of speech and freedom of expression, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the Bill of Rights should weigh heavier than this. I don't know. It's just, I'm not a lawyer, so it's just me, like, as a layperson thinking, like, wait, the Bill of Rights tells me I have all these rights, but yet there's this law that I can offend someone. I can offend someone's religious, you know.
Yeah.
How about if I'm atheist and they offend me by going to church? Can I use this law against that? So it's like, it's a thing.
I mean, if it was reversed, just really saying that you're even an atheist, you know, it's like an offensive. Like,
you're offending someone.
You offended me because you said, like, my imaginary concept is non-existent. Sorry, is that like?
Well, that's your point of view, and that's valid,
right? It's such like a tricky thing to like.
Yes.
To make it happen.
Yeah, it is.
And then let's talk about another scenario here. It is, if this drag queen were to be persecuted or, you know, fined and criminalized, what does that mean for everybody else? What does that mean to the community?
See, it's a setback if that happens.
I feel like it's a slippery slope. Then it's like, then the bars are not going to be safe anymore. Self-expression is not going to be safe anymore. And that's a scary slope to, you know, go down.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if we were to make this, like, you know, the worst case scenario, it could be just like the drag band that we had, you know, floating around here in Florida, Texas, and other, you know, southern states, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing that right here now, actually.
You know.
So I know we talk about, like, the Philippines and the U.S. being so, like, different, but we're actually not that different. I mean, there's so many states. We're over 425 laws that are anti-LGBTQ in history is happening right now in the United States.
Hold on. I guess it's more accurate to say there's a big difference between California LGBTQ rights and the Philippines.
There you go.
Actually, don't even say California. It's like really like LA, OC, maybe some parts of the other counties proper. But once you get out, I mean, you know, once you get out of those spaces, then it kind of gets touchy, right? Just like that, what happened to the lady in Lake Arrowhead?
Oh, what happened?
Who owned a shop and who was flying a flag, the LGBTQ flag, and she was shot in her
Correct.
Store.
Correct. Yeah.
So
she was shot?
Yes.
She was killed. She was murdered.
Oh my God.
So Arrowhead, California, which is about like an hour and a half to 2 hours away up in the mountains. It's a mostly like Republican area. Very Trumpy, actually.
Compared to Big Bear, I thought it was a little bit more liberal. Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah,
that's what I would have thought too.
They sell a lot of Trump flags and whatnot. And, you know, and this is the truth about all these policies that are anti-LGBTQ is that it increases hate crimes. It increases violence and targeted attacks on our community members. Like, this woman was an ally in Arrowhead. She was killed because she had a rainbow flag.
Anything else?
No, D. Well, I don't know. D's, damn, D brought it down like a buzzkill. D over here. Shit.
Well, our topic is halo halo. So this is like the beans.
Yes.
And, so no, this is not the beans. Oh, you know what it is, actually?
Later ones, the chewy, sweet ones.
No, the one bean that I don't like, it's not a bean. It's the green one. There's like a very like lime green color. Bean or like,
no, that's not a bean. That's something else. It's like a jelly. Yeah, like a jelly.
Yeah, I don't like that jelly.
All the jellies I like in the halo halo.
Yeah, we all know you like the jelly. Well, you like the jelly.
I look like a jelly.
So, should we mix up our halo halo?
Let's mix it.
All right. So, my topic is. Not as intense as yours, McCoy is. No, I was just thinking about gay terrorist is what I heard recently. Mm-hmm. And basically...
Well, such an extreme word, though.
I know it is extreme. But you know how some gays and some people in our community could be hella extreme? Where and this, I guess this is referring to the gays and the queers that are like... They tell you, like, oh, you're not gay enough, or that's not gay, or tell you how to be gay, how to act. Oh, you're a butch queen, or, like, that's not great, yeah. Or you're too feminine, masculine. All those little, like, rules. And there's no rules to being queer. But, you know, and they always leave comments, like, da-da-da, you're not gay, like, blah-blah-blah. So that's what I was been thinking about.
Well, what's your take on it?
I guess bullshit. Like, really, guys? Like... Not guys, everybody. Correction. I just think it's ridiculous when we should be lifting each other up or creating spaces, even online spaces for expression. Like, we don't like our straight people tell us like how to act or how to be. So why is it okay for people in our own community to tell us to each other? Yeah, like, what's like...
Why are we doing it to each other? Yeah.
Why? It's ridiculous.
There's no right or wrong way to gay.
I know. Thank God for the word queer, yes, actually. I really appreciate the word queer because it's kind of a very new term.
Well, it's an old term that's been reclaimed.
Reclaimed recently.
Recently.
That, you know, it's like, it's all up in the air. It's like...
But queer means different, right?
Yeah.
I think it was just used derogatorily... by straight people against our community, but it just means different. And queer, you know, if you're queer, I guess if you feel like you're different from the society, then you're queer, you know, something like that. Well, anyway,
and then if you're different from the other gays, yes, then what are you?
Like, or oh however gosh, you want to, you know, however you feel about yourself. How about you, D? How do you feel about this gay terrorist? Like, that word.
D is a gay terrorist.
Lock them all up. We don't need all these queers.
Told you.
No, I was watching, Amara and I watched, what do you call this? Bros. It was Billy Eichner and someone else. And it was a very...
Wait, what's that movie about?
So it was a very controversial movie because it, you know, they deemed themselves as the first, like, LGBTQ, like, very highly funded, like, by production company movies. It's about two opposite spectrums of, like, the gay... like cis white males, like one is very femme and really like non apologetic about themselves, and the other one is more like bro-y, like mask presenting, almost like not closeted, but very West Hollywood-ish. Is that the term?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
And it was like they were just the opposite of each other, but how, you know, they were attracted to each other at the same time. But it was that trope of like, hey, can you, you know, like the mask presenting guy was kind of introducing the femme guy to his family, and like, hey, can you be a little bit less about yourself? Which is like the policing of, you know, well, maybe not the right term, but like the, you know, like really, I mean, it is policing someone else's, like, being themselves,
actions,
right? Right?
Or behavior. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone did that to me a long time ago because they weren't out, and I was over their apartment, and his friends came over, who are his straight friends, I assumed. And he said, oh, can you not act gay? Or something like that, something to that effect. So what I did was I didn't move and I didn't talk.
And that's what he did at the movie. He was just like quiet. And then all of a sudden they were like, is everything okay? Oh. And it's like, you know, it's such a, I mean, I see that that's so hard because that's what we've done all our lives. It's like, hey, we policed ourselves to be, yes, like, so we can't.
But
be
finally,
out
when you're out, you know, you're like, I can act the way I want to act, yeah, because I don't care. Huh. Well, you guys kind of did that to me when you found out I don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race, and you were like, oh, gosh. You're like, oh my God.
Jail. Gay jail.
Yes. I agree. Sick of that. Courts in session. Send it to the gallows.
I just never got it. I never got into it. And I feel like if I was ever going to get into it, I have to watch it from season one, because the way I am, I can't like watch it now. And it's just too much of a commitment.
Too much of a commitment to being gay? Wow, McCoy.
Oh, so watching that means I'm gay correctly. Look, I watch drag performance at Oz, and I enjoy that very much. But it doesn't mean, like, I just don't like reality shows nowadays. Sorry. Not sorry.
Well, sorry, McCoy. We didn't mean to, like, be gay terrorists to you.
Well, you know, because now you're aware, we can move forward, and I forgive you for giving me sleepless nights and me questioning my gayness if I'm doing gay correctly.
If I'm queer enough, I don't know.
Definitely actually, gay enough.
Actually, it is actually hard if you don't fit into a stereotype in the LGBTQ community. Like, they're all about categories. I think we did this in a previous episode. It's like, I'm not a bear, I'm not a panda, then what am I? Or like, I'm not like a Jim Bunny Ho. I don't know, Jiminy Ho, is it? Actually, a term wrong, I just added the word ho, oh, sorry.
There's supposed to be a comma in between the two words.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. I just don't fit in anywhere.
But you know what I find irksome sometimes when family members or straight people would tell me, what furniture looks good? And like, I don't know. Well, shouldn't you know because you're gay? You should be good with design. You should be good with fashion. I'm not good with either one.
Or like hair. I get a lot of the hair. Can you fix my hair?
Yes. Oh.
I was like, why?
My sister did that to me. Well, aren't you supposed to be good with that picture? I'm like, what the fuck? But this was like when I was 19. But still.
But you know what's funny is, like, usually they'd be like, can you fix my hair? I was like, no, I'm not fucking do that just because I'm a gay. And then I'll be like, let me fix your hair. Let me rearrange your house. You picked the wrong colors.
I was on the same boat with that, like, you know, kind of like mentality of like, we should know everything. But then there is this one meme that's circling around where it's like gay guys is doing everything, which I can really say, like, I mean, I fucking cook, I build, I sew, I do, like, some type of art. It's like, I just dip my toes in everything that I want. But which isn't really just, like, obviously a gay thing. But, you know, that meme has gone around. But, like, people showing, like, they just switch from one, like, hobby to another because it's like, well, we're supposed to be good at everything, right?
It is. That's such a good point. Yeah, you're right. I'm the same way, too. I'm like, I'll be, like helping my straight friends with something with design aspect, I'm like, give me a fucking hammer. Let me just hammer this. Like, all of a sudden, you know, fixing their hair. It's like, their makeup is all off. And I'm also, I'm like, where does it come out? It's like this gene. Like, I just, like, this, like, I feel like an X-Men or something. I'm like, ah!
No, I think when you have a creative mind like you guys do, that's where it's coming from. Like, I'm the least creative person I know, and I've been that saying this. I don't... You know, what's wrong with my hair? I don't know. Like, it's just not, it doesn't come natural to me. But, you know, like, speaking of, like, expectations of what a gay person should be, in the Philippines, that happens a lot, too, in the workplace, for example. If there's, like, a Christmas party or some kind of event, they automatically find the office gay and they're the host because you're supposed to be funny and you're supposed to be social. And this happens to people like we know. So I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Like, if I was to be made a host, I'm like, this is going to be a very boring, quiet event.
That's true. I was funny when he said that. I was like, oh my God, I want to host. I want to do it. I want to volunteer. But you're right. Actually, then it puts all this pressure because you're gay. You need to be like the host. You need to be funny. You need to be charismatic, hot, and like.
The hot is not the same.
They don't realize the funniness comes as like a self-defense. It will be like, well, instead of you making fun of us, we're going to make fun of ourselves. And that's how we just kind of like, you know, they don't realize sometimes it's triggering for us to be put on a spot like that.
Ooh, that's deep. Ding, ding, ding. I was like, ooh, that's right there.
Why does it have to be ding, ding, ding?
Like, I know.
Is it because like
it's gay?
The word ba-ding? How dare you?
Stop being a gay terrorist.
Him or like terrorizing
I know.
Him.
I'm policing him because he's being offensive. We're gay terrorists against each other.
And now me as a black Nazarene.
Oh, I don't mean to laugh. But I just had a mess up.
Okay. Sorry. Let's mix again. Hello. D.
Okay, so we'll get to the leche flan and the uve part of the thing, which is the good parts.
Yes.
Wait, okay. Let me pause that. Do you find yourself eating those? Like the ice cream, the ube ice cream and the leche flan, even before you mix it?
Separately. Oh. Always.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's just weird. Right. So the leche flan's always on top, and it's like, and there's a, on the pound of all this ice, shaved ice, it's like, well, obviously you have to eat it separately because you can't like get it inside, can you? Without it falling over, it falls over.
Yeah, I mean, it adds to the creaminess, I'm assuming. Yeah, it's but I end up eating it like.
It's okay. I'll just eat the ice cream and then the flan first and then the ice cream and then I'll mix and then just drink whatever is left over. That's pretty much my steps that I do.
I'm sorry, I'm getting hungry now.
Anyway,
go to the everyone's favorite light and sweet part. Okay, so there's this thing that's going viral on Twitter. It's like people are calling it the coming of age movie. Mind you, this is a 5-minute video about four sisters. I think they're based in LA or California. The oldest sister, her name is Valentina. She was doing like a get unready with me. That's when like influencers are like taking off their makeup and just going to the bear and then talking at the same time. So she was starting her video and then her little sister comes in running in a room with a scissor and like borrowing her scissors. And she was like, don't do anything stupid. She's like, I won't. And seconds later, another sibling comes in and she was like yelling, screaming. Apparently the other sister cut her hair, her bangs. And so it was this chaos of like, you know, they were trying to hide it from their mom and then like, you know, like kind of trying to figure out what to do. She went on TikTok
It's school picture the next day.
Yeah, it's cool picture the next day. So she went on TikTok to try to like learn how to cut bangs in like a minute, which is like if you think about it now, it's like everything is there in front of our, you know, in our hands, like resources to do everything, and kids are just, you know, knows how to do it well, and everyone is just going crazy because it's such like a, you know, they compared it like, why do the Kardashians have like how many, what, 10 seasons? And this is like not on TV yet. So, you know, everyone was enjoying it. Celebrities were commenting about it. But what I liked about it is like it made me remember about like the times that I had with my younger brother. It's like one of those things where like, you know, like, you kind of have the secret again, you know, like you're hiding from your parents just so you won't get hopefully spanked because you did something stupid or, you know, like something that, you know, obviously they won't agree about. So that kind of like, I think that's what was touching everyone's like, you know, hearts that they really enjoyed this. Do you guys have any like, memories like that?
Actually, it's triggering in a good way because it kind of reminded me of some of my core memories as a child because I'm the youngest, and my older brother, he was very sweet to me, and he was a teenager then, and I was like about 7 or something, and he's always been. I think it's just his personality because my older sisters weren't really aware I even existed because they were too busy doing their own thing, you know, like. When you're in your late teens and you have this younger sibling who's like 8, you find them kind of annoying sometimes. So I was...
So the gap was much wider for you guys.
Much wider. So yeah, so my brother Carlos, he's always been so sweet to me. Like, I don't know what it's called, where you sit on your brother's shoulders. Yeah, and sometimes I'll cover his eyes. And he was like, don't do that. I can't, you know, like all that stuff, like the interaction between me and him. It was like typical of what a childhood with your older brother should be. My other brother that's 2 years older than me, younger than Carlos, we always butted heads because when you have siblings who are close in age, either you'll get along really well or you will butt heads. Yeah. And that was us. So we weren't really that close. So yeah, I have all these memories of like of Carlos doing that. And even when I was already in high school and we were already here, he would buy things for him and he would buy me the same things because I like doing things he did. Like when he got into rollerblading, he got me a pair too because he knows I want to do that. So all that stuff, it was just very sweet when I think back.
You know, when I was younger, it takes me back to a few moments actually. So my kuya is like, what, 7 years older than me. My manong, my middle brother, he's 2 years older than me. But we lived, our house was like up in the hills. And so we had the whole backyard was hills and like a little forest. And so we would go play, we would, you know, in the hills, like we'd dig holes right there and just get really dirt, like really messy.
Yeah.
And we would always get in trouble because we were covered in dirt all the time. And I remember my dad said that, you know, to stop doing that. And so, but, you know, you lose track of time. One day, my mom and I were playing with our Hot Wheels, and we created this whole little, like, city in the dirt on the side of the hill. And then we heard from a distance the gate open up, you know? So we heard the little, like, we're like, oh, crap, our dad is home. And we had to basically get all our Hot Wheels as fast as we could, put him in our case, run down the hill before he got up to the house. So we're running, we're covered in dirt, and he's pulling up. You can see his car, and we're like caught red-handed. But we did was that we had palm trees, like small palm trees. We did was we hid behind them, like, you know, like in a cartoon where you try to stay still, like right next to it, and hopefully, like, they won't see you. We both did that. We're like, just don't move, you won't see us. And my dad stopped right there, and he was like, what are you doing? And he, like, scolded us, like a Filipino dad. You know how Filipino dads are, like, crazy. We were so busted. I was like, in my head, I was like, I just thought, like, if I hid behind this palm tree, like, he wouldn't see us. But there were so many instances like that. Like, one time, my mom, like, locked me in the back trunk of the car.
What?
He said it would be fun if I got in the back seat of the trunk, and he closed it. And we drove around our property.
That is fun. No, like...
no, it's not.
Yeah, but I started freaking out, and I was like, "Oh my god, I can't get out because it's so dark in the
Wait,
trunk."
You guys have never done anything, McCoy. You've never done anything like that where it's like
no,
you no. Oh, trouble. You're missing out.
I'm not. Oh, trouble. No, because I was such a good kid. I mean, I forget to cook rice, but, and my dad's like opening the garage. You're like, oh shit, see, I didn't cook rice.
Okay, that's a different story. Like, you do not do that because it affects everyone else. Yeah, not just
I'd kill you.
but you've never been like coaxed into doing something as the youngest.
Oh, my brother asked me to hold the match. And they're like, they were playing some kind of game, like they're pretending they were going to measure it.
Yeah.
Like the match sticks. And then they lit it. And it was in my finger. And I could put my finger. But they felt so guilty about it. But still, that's the only time I was tricked into doing anything. Because I was such a good kid. I'm the kind of kid that you would never want to like mess with. Because I'm just such a good, quiet kid. Who did everything I was told? Who did everything I was told?
That's the best to like made into something.
And when I get angry as a kid, I get quiet. I'm very quiet.
Greg, that's the only instance with you was the trunk. Have they? Done
oh no, I was
else?
Talking about no the trunk. So I was in the trunk, and my brother was doing like wheelies and around our fountain area, and so I was in the trunk, and I was pounding to get out because I started freaking out. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna die in here. I'm gonna suffocate. And he was playing music so loud, I kept like hitting it. And then he stopped. The car stopped. And he started, get out. I'm like, oh my god, I'm getting out. So he opens the trunk and goes, stay down. I was like, why? You locked me in here. You locked me in the trunk. But I thought you were having a fun time in there. Because you were banging to the music, I guess. He thought. He goes, stay down, stay down. I was like, why? He goes, and then my dad, I could hear my dad's car again, was coming home. And he was maybe like, my brother started driving our cars around, maybe was 10. So I was probably what, like
eight
years old. It was like, stay down, stay down. I was like, why? He goes, dad's here. And I got up. I'm like, where? And he popped my head out of the trunk. Ooh, my dad was pissed. He was like, what are you doing in the trunk? I was so busted. We were both so busted. I was like, oh crap. I didn't know. I know.
Would you do that again now? Go in a trunk?
Be in the trunk and do wheelies?
I don't know.
Actually, yeah, I probably would do it again.
Maybe if I was high, I'd probably do something like that.
But see, I'm forgetting you guys are the youngest, so you guys are the ones who's getting like convinced to do these things. I'm the oldest, so...
You're the one doing the convincing.
I'm the one who's doing convincing. I remember...
Everything makes sense now.
when our house was getting built, and we would go there once in a while to check up on things, and you know how they, you know, construction site, there would be like a pile of like, you know, powdered cement still unmixed that, you know.
Yeah.
And you guys know another thing about me is I love fire. So I used to do this thing where I would mix gasoline and like sand or wet cement, and then I would light it on fire and then toss it up in the air.
Who does this?
Me. But so my little brother was with me, and it spread like it was quick, but in my eyes it was like hours or minutes, because like it was falling and you see like almost like fire. The rain just falling from the shovel that I like lit up, and like, and it landed everywhere, and I thought this shit was gonna get catch on fire. So I had to like this thing where when I was younger I had my brothers like wrapped around my fingers, so I had to like coax them into like, don't say anything, because you know, like some like paper were like burnt, and I just kind of stomped around to make sure they weren't like, you know, like start a fire on, you know, the foundation of the house. So it was kind of like, you know, like little shit like that. And then when I, you know, once I moved here, I was still kind of one of the eldest to my cousins that I was babysitting. And we convinced the second to the youngest cousin of ours to like, hey, you know what would be so fun? If you get inside the dryer, we're not going to close it. We're just going to hold
I
that
did that
button,
before.
And then we'll let you spin. But see, so you don't hurt yourself, we'll put pillows in there. And you can have one in a pillow. So
this is triggering for me because this happened to me.
Wait, you're the one that was put in the dryer?
I was the one that was put in the dryer without a pillow. So Deacon's bonus points for having a pillow, but like I didn't have a pillow.
Your brothers don't care about you because I put pillows for my cousin. But so she was like, you know, the first spin, she was like, yeah, this is fun. And in the second spin, she got worried. And so we got her out. But then her nose started bleeding. And we were just like, we're fucked. Don't tell your mom. So we were like bribing her with everything else that we could, you know, chips. What do you want? Ice cream? Let's go. Like, so it was like, and mind you, I was their babysitter. So.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
See, me oldest.
Kids, not gonna happen.
The eldest. Watch out for the eldest. Yeah. I swear to God, they're the worst.
Yeah. Well, make, okay.
But see, and those are memories that everyone holds on to, right? Like,
true.
It's like it's the dumbest things that you can, you know, remember getting yourself in trouble for.
So yeah, the early next generation, because of our mistakes, won't have the same experiences because we probably won't do that again.
Or as Filipinos, we don't discuss our mistakes, and the second generation, next generation, they don't learn from it because we are ashamed into not saying anything about this or that.
Wow, gosh.
I was bringing to the good part of the halo halo, and you just had to bring it up to the beans again. It's like,
you know how like sometimes your parents don't talk about the mistakes they've made, and so we don't learn from that.
Which is us sometimes.
Yeah. Right. You know, so I'm like thinking, what? If my mom just told me her experiences when I was younger, then maybe I wouldn't make some of the mistakes that she did, but whatever, that's just me, I guess.
That's another trauma.
Yeah, we'll talk about your mom's mistakes in the next episode.
But there were some, but she's a great mother, so
okay. And on that note, McCoy,
yes,
what's the Filipino word of the day?
The Filipino word of the day is sari-sari.
Sari-sari? Like sari-sari.
Store. It's like a sari-sari store. But sari-sari means assorted or varied.
Wait, so you hear about a sari-sari store, it's assorted or varied?
Yeah. It's like a store in the Philippines, and like a corner store.
Yeah.
I mean, they have candy, they have coffee, they have sanitary, you know, for the female during the month. They have cigarettes, they have cooking oil, they have corned beef, they have everything. Soda. Yes.
Rice.
And it's called
Sari Sari Store.
And it basically an English translation would be assorted store.
Assorted or varied.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty much. You just go to like your corner, you know, there's like a Sari Sari store in the corner, and you knock, you're like, Pabili, that's what they say, righty. Pabili po, or something like that. Like, can I buy something? And you know, they'll stop watching their telenovela, and then I was always sent to buy things like cigarettes, like stuff like that.
Cigarettes?
Yes, because they buy them in like, you can buy them in like one stick.
Yeah, one stick. Yeah. And I love it because before I didn't know they offered to light it for you in case you don't have a lighter. So I guess some of my cousins would run back home and it's like already lit.
Yes.
For them. So basically, a kid is smoking, but it's not seen that way.
That also explains so much, doesn't it, McCoy? Well, use it in a sentence for us.
Okay. We all have sari-sari experiences, and it's always a good idea to keep an open mind so we can learn from each other.
Well, that's our show. We know you missed us on our little hiatus.
Is that how you pronounce it?
No, it is not how you pronounce it. Please don't learn from me.
I'm like, wait, it doesn't sound right, but okay. No,
it isn't right. Please don't learn from me. I was locked in a trunk once and a dryer. Now, thank you, D, for like triggering that memory that I totally forgot about.
Hey, I unlocked it for you. That's all right.
That's our show. So if you'd like to leave a message, comment, or have a question for us, or just want to slip into our DMs, you can by
on social media. We're on Twitter. I will always call it Twitter, Instagram, Thread, and Facebook at GamChat Podcast.
Wait, are we on Threads now too?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, probably post some of their childhood pics.
Well, I need to post that link of that video that yes. you had talked about.
Yeah, yes, we can post it on there. Okay. And then you could also email us at gamchatpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate us on Apple and Spotify or whatever you're using to listen to our show. We would like, I don't want a sorry comment. I just want non beans, leche flan, and ube ice cream comments.
Okay.
There you go.
God, you guys make me hungry. And we're also part of Bunk Collective, a group of Filipino content creators. So visit the website at thebunkph.com, and we'll catch you on the next one.